With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Sorry, I slept a bit last night. Did Rami score 5 goals past Fylde?
Yeah.
Did that really happen?
Yeah, 2 goals behind.
And they brought it back. In fact, they took the lead, didn't they?
Yeah, with 5 minutes to go.
It's really impressive, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You sure?
Throw to Ramsbottom. So Lugsden won the header well, but couldn't really direct it goalwards. He has the ball again, though. Lays it out to the far side to Jacobs. Nice play down the right-hand side. Cross comes in. Evangelino's trying to get there. And he does! And Evangelino has scored a hat-trick! And Ramsbottom are winning! Ramsbottom United 5! AFC Fylde 4. Evangelinos has got 11 FA Trophy goals. He's got his second FA Trophy hat-trick of the season. And, oh dear me, what do you see there? Dillied and dallied as that cross came in. And Evangelinos was too quick for him. Sneaked in behind him. Nudged the ball over the line. Ramsbottom United 5. AFC Fylde 4. The Ramsbottom fairy tale goes on.
Hello everybody and welcome to January's edition of the EvoStick NPL show, pre-recorded live in February, the 6th of February to be precise, here at the award-winning Heat and Hops in South Manchester. Around the table, we've got the great and good of non-league football. Mr. Andrew Simpson's here from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
Berkey's here from 26-0.
Hiya, Ben.
Social media man from the league, James Hayes, is here.
Evening.
I'm going to have to call you Jim tonight, if that's all right. Because joining you on your right-hand side is another James. It's James Gordon, everyone. Hello, James. How are you?
Hi, Ben. I'm fine.
Yeah. And what's it like sitting next to Jim?
it does get confusing in the many emails that we get. James.
He said he wants to be called Teacup, but
he doesn't look like a gym though.
We've got Brian Flynn coming on shortly to look back at a bonkers night in Lancashire. We heard a bit of a clip of it. Did it really happen that? Did it finish 5-5?
you'll believe it, but it did.
Absolutely amazing. So we've got Brian Flynn coming on at the halftime break to talk about his thoughts on Tuesday night's action there at the Riverside Stadium and his thoughts for the replay as well between AFC Fylde and Ramsbottom United.
I predict he'll sit on the fence.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because he always does. He's brilliant at sitting on the fence. He's got so many splinters, you wouldn't believe it. But Flynn is great. He's my official radio dad because we started 26-0 after we bent the ears of Radio Robbins and they got set up and this, that and the other. Yeah, Flynn is top bloke.
Well, we'll be hearing from Flynn. And we're also going to be having a fixture preview later. We're expecting more matches this weekend than last weekend, aren't we? That's not going to be a problem,
I hope.
And we've got the draw for the Integro League Cup. What is it, first round? You've got a lot of balls there. What round?
Semi-final.
I know, why have you got so many balls then?
Look, we've got to keep spares just in case.
I like your proper draw ball bag as well, which to me looks it's not Sabutio, it's Scrabble.
Oh, it's Scrabble, sorry, I do apologise.
It says Integro, not
Scrabble. Yeah, Integro, right. But before all of that, we should talk about the top end of the Premier Division, and, well, James is here. And not Jim, James. James Gordon's here. Can I call you Gordon? That would work. For those people who are unaware, you like Warrington a lot.
Well, I'm a Warrington lad, so they're the team that generally I see most of.
Exactly.
And obviously it was quite a good weekend for me because the Warrington game was on and there was only 7 other games, which significantly reduces the burden of my workload on a Saturday. So it was, all in all, it was quite a pleasant weekend.
What's your mood like at the moment? Because you're part of a 4-horse title race at the moment with South Shields, with Fazer, with Nantwich. And heading into this weekend's matches, Warrington are top on goal difference. How does it feel at the moment?
Yeah, it was obviously Warrington, knowing that the games were off, knew that a 3-goal win on Saturday would put them top of the league. And I don't think anyone was really expecting games. We don't concede many goals at home. And it was a really good performance. But yeah, like you say, it's been very sort of cat and mouse last few weeks. Everyone's been changing. I still think South Shields are probably the favourites. And, seeing Farsley obviously solid as anybody else. keep expecting Nantwich maybe to fall away, but they're not showing any signs of that. And then, I mean, obviously you've had Scarborough have sort of fallen away a little bit, but that's just because it's been relentless for...
keep the noise down, because Berkey's a big fan of Scarborough.
No, but, well, I mean, at the end of the day, if you finish fifth or you finish second, you've got as much chance as each other of getting up, so...
That's true. Just to add as well, still not broken the 20 goals conceded barrier, Warrington.
Which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Berkey, I said I'd ask you a specific question this week. I've been building up to it. There is not a chance...
You wouldn't know this if you listened to last week's show, though.
If you listen to our weekly show, you know.
Hang on, I did listen to
well,
it.
Well, you should have. You've done your homework then, clearly.
Oh, I know what you're going to say, and yes, they are. And I'll tell you why.
You still got to ask
can
the question.
Can I tee up for those people who are joining us for the first time on Spotify? Oh, hello, yeah, everyone. We're now available on Spotify. Berke, there's not a chance that South Shields are going to win this league by 10 points, is there?
Ben, of course there is. And I'd be surprised if they don't win it by 10 or more, to be honest. Since we last did the show, they've won 4-4, and they've won them at a canter. They've won 7 on the spin, actually, but that's by the way. They've actually gone 13 games unbeaten in the league. The last time that they lost was on the 16th of October against the mighty Hyde United, that 4-1, and we speculated at the time, is this going to be the kick up the backside that South Shields needs? Because at the time, they were absolutely terrible away from home, and it still took them a few weeks to start picking up the points away from Mariners Park. But they've really hit the stride now, and it's been an absolutely brilliant run. You look ahead who they've got this month, and apart from the game against...
Don't say the 16th game. That deserves its own fanfare shot.
Well, of course it does.
Not just you dropping it in a list.
No, I wouldn't do that. Don't worry about that. But they're playing against the team who are up near the top of the league, shall we say. But then they've also got Grantham, who were on a terrible run. We know Bamber Bridge, who have been very hit and miss. They've got to play them twice. If they get past the first hurdle, if you know what I mean, the big game, which you want to really big up, which I think I'm bigging up for
it's you. Warrington, everyone. It's Warrington on the 16th.
Top of the table, clash and all that. If South Shields take all 12 points, I think it's game, set and match. I really do.
Are you saying Hyde is to blame for this?
Or Hyde how on earth can a match between two of the four sides really kill off any hope for the other two
it
sides?
It will destroy the morale of Farsley Celtic. It will crush Nantwich Town and poor old Scarborough. I mean, let's not even go there at the minute. I mean, it's
a big couple of weeks in the league, because obviously there's the Warrington South Shield match, but on the 9th there's Farsley Celtic against Nantwich Town. So is the league going to be all done and dusted, Simo, before we enter March?
No,
that's a shame.
And
to go on holiday,
we'd have no show.
I know.
It's never stopped us before.
We just do 2 months of relegation specials, don't we? No, it won't be. But you can land a psychological blow. I think that's where Berkey's right. Wouldn't you be like a bit disappointed if someone did win the league by 10 points though from here?
No, because I'd be right.
That's the most important thing.
That is the most important thing.
Well, one thing I've got to say in Warrington's defence is that they've started to get the goals going again.
Yeah.
Josh Amos, he's got 6 goals in his last 5. But the month they've got coming up, it's a bit of a stinker. They've got to play South Shields. They've got to go to Mariners Park and get something out of it there. No one's done it. What, 13 games have they played at home?
Another interesting point on the Warrington game is that Warrington beat South Shields 3-0 at home. So they'll want to set the record straight from that game. But like you know, like say with the home form, I mean, they're going to potentially got 63 points just at home.
Yeah,
and it's like gives you some unbelievable platform.
South Shields have started to. In fact, again, the Whitby Town game, Whitby Town for the first half actually shown what the weaknesses are.
And yeah, until
South Shields won that.
That's what I mean. Second half,
there has been a few close calls at Mariners. It's not like they've steamrolled everybody 5 and 6.
Stalybridge,
notably, probably the most unlucky of all with Farsley not to get something there. I think you're right about Warrington. This is a big month for them. If they come through this month and they're still in front or just behind South Shields, their fixed list is quite kind in March and April, so it sets them up quite nicely if they can pick up some points from these big head-to-heads.
But the February, every team they play It's a team that's fighting for something.
Big time, yeah. Yeah.
You know, they've got to play Nantwich as well, but then they've got to play Hensford and Workington
this
right
is
down
the,
this
bottom. Is the, I mean, we'll come to relegation in the second.
Tuesday night as well.
Yeah. We'll come to relegation in the second part, but there's so many teams down the bottom end who are just going to be a right pain to anyone in the in the playoff or the title race in the next couple of months.
And good. Teams at the bottom are in form.
Yes.
Big time. Yes. Let's talk about Farsley Celtic then. Obviously, there's a big game this weekend for them. Then if they get a positive result, or Nantwich gets a positive result, they're looking at the next weekend, the team above them, dropping points potentially. So, it's got a big, I mean, where are we with Farnsley, do we reckon?
No, mind that, they've got a big week coming because Gainsborough games have been brought forward as well, so they've got games are away on the Tuesday night.
I think they really show what they're made of going to Scarborough after the disappointment of losing in the last minute at Sarfields. To then go away to Scarborough, not only winning the way that they did, shows... Not that we doubted it, but it just reinforces that they're the real deal.
But then Nantwich, and you're right, Gainsborough away on a Tuesday night going to Lincolnshire.
They've had a tough run, Farsley, to be fair, because obviously they've played Warrington, Scarborough, South Shields, you know, Nantwich. So I guess once they've come out of the back, if they can get a result against Nantwich, maybe get 4 points from them two games, they might come out the back of this run of fixtures and think, actually, you know, we've got all that behind us now, we're not in a bad position.
There's a slight concern though, isn't there, because they did take their eye off the ball against Grantham. They had that very unlikely 1-1 draw at home against them. They should have walked over them, they really should. The run that Grantham had been on.
To be fair, even the Warrington game, they were winning 3-1, and you know, for all intents and purposes, they threw away a decisive two points as well, because obviously that would have put a bit of room between them and one of the rivals. So
South Shields would have been top of the league.
Let's talk about that team who are there. They're not dropping, are they? Nantwich. And they keep pulling out results.
No, but the thing is, at the start of the show here, James was saying... was saying Nantwich have sort of fallen away a bit. Well, they've not really. They're only 3 points behind Warrington. They're on the same amount of games played and all that. And I think Dave Cook, he's going to be absolutely chuffed to bits that the quietly being written off, because they haven't been doing particularly well recently. They've not been scoring a lot. That said, they've not been conceding many. They're a very solid team. What Nantwich lack at the moment, or what they've lacked all season really, is a prolific goal scorer. They don't have anybody in double figures.
I thought they've just got Ricardo Fuller in.
They are, and remains to be seen what impact he's going to have. I think Berkey, I mean, I saw Nantwich on New Year's Day, and what was really striking, I think I've said this before on the show, is what a young side they were. So it was really interesting when Dave Cook's gone out and been able to persuade Fuller to sign for them, because he will bring a little bit of nous, a little bit of know-how that they were sorely lacking that day against Witt, and they kind of came up against a very, very organised side and didn't really have the tools to unlock them when Plan A didn't work. Fuller might solve some of that, but what I would say after I've seen all four of them in the past month is there is a significant gap between the top three and Nantwich in terms of firepower, know-how, experience that they need to bridge, I think, to stay in the title
this
race.
This next month's going to be the crucial thing for Nantwich, because the next six fixtures, four of them are against the rest of the top five.
Oh, it's disgusting, right, so. The February they've got.
Is it disgusting?
They're away at Farsley, they're home against Scarborough, they're away against Warrington. That's just the three fixtures in February.
So it's huge.
It's horrible. Yeah, if they come through this, if they get 6 points from this month, they're real contenders. But equally, this could be the month they follow.
They're under no pressure though, are they?
None whatsoever. Still.
They've been helped, actually, by having the 2 weekends off that they had, because that's meant that they've sort of dropped below the radar again. Everyone's been talking about the other teams, and they've been quite happy.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Dave Cook's post-match interviews, because he's got this glint in his eye which says, we're still winning. And I like that.
That's it. His mouth says straight back, his eyes say, watch out.
He should be loving it.
The thing is, the longer they cling on to the coattails of South Shields or whoever it might be, they're going to get in the playoffs, basically. You don't want to get into... I mean, the way things are, the four at the moment could really cement their playoff places at least very soon.
I mean, that's an easier question perhaps to answer, and that is, are that top four now in the playoffs?
No. No, I think...
Not yet.
I think a lot hangs on this month for Nantwich, because they could very easily come out of the next three games with no points whatsoever.
But then they are...
There
is a lot of reliance then on Scarborough and Gainsborough to catch them, and at the moment they're a bit stumbly, aren't they?
Sketchy.
I think a lot of the teams outside of the playoffs have been a bit like that, haven't they? They've all been like, Buxton were going well, and then they started falling away. Hyde like win a good game, and then the week you think, oh, actually they might join the party, and then they draw or drop points. Yeah. And Matlock went on that incredible run, and then all of a sudden have just fallen away again. And it's like no one's actually really, you know, like we saw the other year when Ramsbottom came up, you know, and won however many games in the north. It's like, is anyone going to be capable of doing that to the extent where, like you say, can Nantwich or Warrington or whoever be caught?
I think it's between the top six. I do.
Now, let's talk about the playoffs then. Do you think it's about the top six? We'll come to, you know, your pride and joy. I'm not talking about Scarborough, by the way. I'm talking about Hank.
I suppose it is definitely between the top six.
You think?
Well,
if you're Hyde United or the gang of four, let's call them in that pack there, who are just 10 points behind us, so only 12 points above relegation, by the way.
I'm sure they really thank.
They're looking at Gainsborough's form at the moment, and particularly Scarborough's form as well. And they must be going, you know, if we get a bit of form, and I know Darren Kelly's bought this, if we get a bit of form together, we can catch them.
Hyde are most likely, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We've got a pretty
decent...
See how
decent... there?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's good, wasn't it?
No, Hyde have got a pretty decent running, as these things go. Out of all the top teams, I think we've only got to play Farsley now, and then South Shields away. Other than that, we've played the top ones twice. You know, so that shouldn't really be too much of a bother. But then again, we've been in and out, as James was saying. We've won one, lost one, won one, lost one. We lost against Marine a couple of weeks back when we absolutely tonked them. And we had two really uncharacteristic defensive clangers. We've had a few weeks where the defence has been rickety, which is very un-Hyde, like very un-Darren Kelly-like. He was a centre-half, prides himself on having a good organised defence. And then things have gone to pot a little bit over the last few weeks. But yeah, Scarborough. Sorry.
My God. Right. Oh, everyone.
Right.
Everyone.
Oh. But, hang on, Ben.
Yeah.
But Hyde... Mark my words, Hyde will get into the playoffs.
It's going to be a tough ask.
At the expense of Scarborough?
Yes.
Oh, you know he was welcome next year. go on, James.
I was just going to say...
That's Ian Burke. On the
is there a sense that Scarborough won't have a worse run than what they've had over the past 6 to 8 weeks? And have they had their sort of... patch where they're going to drop the points, and maybe Hyde have failed, or not just Hyde, but the other teams have maybe failed to bridge the gap as much as they potentially could have?
I think you've got a fair point, but the thing with Scarborough is this isn't form, this is how they're playing. Mm-hmm. You know, it sort of transcends form when it becomes a habit, and that's what it's been for the last couple of months for Scarborough.
I was going to say, there's been a couple of false dawns, hasn't there, where they've suddenly gone, oh, we've got a win here, and then they lose the next game, and it's just kind of...
Yeah, because if you go back to November, I certainly thought at one point it looked like they might just roll away with it before, you know...
Joking aside, do we think Hyde United have a chance, and Buxton, maybe Matlock?
Buxton don't have a chance.
I think Matlock have just regressed to the mean. We kind of, said... at the start of the season,
surely it's job done, isn't it?
Because obviously it's been shifting parameters for them, because they went on this ridiculous run, and so everyone's going, well, you could finish in the top five. And then Dave Frexton, to be fair, has kind of tried to pour a bit of water on that, because he's like, well, hang on, when I came in we were looking at going into step four, so let's not be too unfair on kind of the, or start to rewrite just what a good job he's done. If they finish in the top 10, that represents a fantastic season from where they were when he came in. Again, saw them a couple of weeks ago. They probably haven't got enough to finish in the top five, but that doesn't necessarily mean they failed by not doing so.
Yeah, and as well, they started to pick up a few injuries as well. Marcus Marshall looks like he's going to be out for the season. He's been instrumental for the last few months. Cracking winger.
Well, I think we'll leave the top end there, if that's okay with everyone, unless anyone's got anything else to add.
The only thing I would add is, obviously, the season that Nantwich have had means that it's going to be a big club that does miss out on the playoffs, and that's quite interesting.
Oh, possibly two.
Possibly two.
And we're not mentioning Bayford. Are you putting them in with a relegation picture?
Ooh. Can I just say, last month you made a comment about Jim White and his yellow tie.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand, because I don't have Sky, you see.
Oh, right.
I've got Now TV now, so I've got Sky, and I watch Sky Sports News, because my son came home from school, went, look, we've got Sky Sports News, look. Yeah. And it's transfer deadline day. And there he was wearing his yellow tie. And he went, that's what Berkey meant. Because I took a big risk including that in the show, because that could have meant anything, really, that yellow tie. But before we get to relegation and part two, we need to talk a bit more about the events of Tuesday night at the Riverside Stadium between Ramsbottom United and AFC Fylde. 5-5. Let me repeat that again. 5-5. And commentating for Live Sports FM was the marvellous Brian Flynn, to give him his proper name. Yep. And I caught up with him on Thursday to get his take on the events of Tuesday evening.
And that is the final whistle. What a game. Ramsbottom United 5, AFC Fylde 5. Twice Fylde led by 2 goals. Once Ramsbottom led by 1 goal. In the end, it was a draw. And you'd have to be hard-hearted to say that either side deserved to lose this absolute classic. But Ramsbottom United giving away 3 divisions. What a tremendous performance. And all I can say is if you are anywhere near Wesham next Tuesday night, I suggest most strongly that you go and see the replay, because tonight has been an absolutely wonderful game.
Mark Simpson there on Live Sports FM on Tuesday evening, commentating at the final whistle there between Ramsbottom United and AFC Fylde, which remarkably finished Rammy 5, AFC Fylde 5. It's going to a replay next Tuesday. And joining me now, the summariser from Tuesday night, is Mr. Brian Flynn. So, Brian, a big thank you for joining us. We're recording this bit of the show on Thursday. Have you recovered yet from Tuesday night?
Just about. It was an amazing evening one way and another. Incredible football match. I've never seen anything quite like that, and certainly it's the highest scoring draw that I've ever witnessed, and I must have seen about 3,000 football games in my lifetime. So yeah, quite an incredible evening's entertainment and a magnificent football game.
And a remarkable achievement for Ramsbottom United, obviously just minutes away from taking the tie themselves. But, you know, to go 2-0 down the way they did and you know, to claw it back, it was such a gutsy performance from Chris Wilcox's side.
It was remarkable. You know, they started the game really well, but then went behind. Fylde had a good spell, 2 or 3 minutes, created a couple of chances, scored. Then Ramsbottom came back at them. After half an hour, Ramsbottom were clearly the better side, but Fylde were a goal ahead. Then Fylde doubled it through Nick Horton, the former Salford City and Fleetwood man. Good goal. And you thought at that stage, surely this game is over, even though it's only 35 minutes. But they scored twice in 3 minutes. And also nearly scored a third one with a fantastic save from Russ Griffiths, the Fylde keeper, from a brilliant free kick from Tom Kennedy, the Ramsbottom captain. So 2-2 then, and the game was really, you know, the ground was buzzing, the game was buzzing. But they've let in a really bad goal on half time. Jordan Tundercliffe heading past Sam Ashton. It was a bad goal to concede. And then another goal straight after half time at 4-2. I don't think there was anybody in the ground that thought that Ramsbottom were coming back into this one. And yet, through Nick Evangelinos and a superb performance from the team, Chris Wilcox side, somehow have got themselves 5-4 in front. And at that stage, they did look odds on to win. I've got to say, Fylde didn't really look like scoring. They, once the goal came out of the blue, but they weren't really threatening that much. And it was a bit of a dampener, but 5-5, amazing.
And a hat-trick as well for Nick Evangelinos, a great performance. Second hat-trick, I think, as well, was mentioned in the commentary. Second hat-trick in the competition this season. Remarkable scoring record. I'll let you into a little secret as well, Brian. I was listening, but when Fylde went 4-2 up, I went, that's that done and dusted. And then later on, when I panicked to try and get back online, I couldn't get back on, and it was clear what was happening. Everyone was tuning in. It made such a splash on Tuesday. I mean, what was it like covering it all?
It was fantastic. I mean, we were in the main stand, at the back of the main stand, so it was a packed-in crowd all around us. It was an interesting from a commentarial perspective. We also had one or two technical problems to deal with, but it was brilliant. But I'm sure you weren't the only one who sacked off at 4-2, because I think the majority of nearly everybody in the ground thought, well, that is it. But Ramsbottom, they just don't seem to know how to lie down, and they just kept on coming back and coming back. And the great thing is, they played some really good football. It wasn't a case of, you know, really bad conditions suiting the sort of lower league side. They played some great football and failed at one of the best non-league defences in the country. And they've conceded 5 goals, which is a magnificent testament to what Ramsbottom have achieved on the night.
Absolutely. So it goes to a replay on Tuesday. This replay could, it seems ridiculous to say this, but it could go one of two ways. You know, Rami could go for it again, and Fylde could be thinking to themselves, this is an extra fixture we don't want here. Or it could go the inevitable, you know, by the league standings. How do you sense how this replay is going to go on Tuesday?
Well, you'd expect Fylde to ultimately win the tie on home pitch, which they know very well. It's a very, very good pitch, but that will suit Ramsbottom. Don't write Ramsbottom off. They've certainly got a chance. You know, a full-time outfit towards the top of the National League against a semi-pro outfit who are doing very well in the EvoStick First Division West and could get promoted this season. You'd say Fylde have got to be the winners, but, you know, football's strange, as we saw on Tuesday night. And Ramsbottom's run is so amazing. They keep on drawing games and then winning the replay. This is going to be different because, well, apart from the Weymouth game, which was a fantastic achievement to go down to Dorset on a Tuesday night and win, all the others have been home replays, but I think this is going to be their 12th game in the trophy this season, which is quite remarkable.
Oh, at least. I think it might even be more than that, Brian, actually.
Maybe it is. It's certainly 12, yeah, at least. And you mentioned Nick Evangelinos, 11 goals in the FA Trophy this season. I'd really be interested to see if anybody's ever bettered that.
Just before you go then, Brian, obviously the replay will be on Live Sports FM, livesportsfm.co.uk on Tuesday evening. Just give the coverage a bit of a plug.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Live Sports FM have covered quite a lot of the Ramsbottom run this season. The replay victories over Yaxley, Pickering, Workington, and of course the Tuesday night's game against Fylde. Back again on Tuesday night, so should be another great evening. Full live commentary starting from 7:15 on Live Sports FM, which is accessed via downloading the MixLR app or via the Live Sports FM website.
Brian Flynn there from Live Sports FM. Replay next Tuesday night, and I think we'll also cover them on this month's East West show, which will also be available on Spotify. We're now on Spotify and on Audio Boom and iTunes.
How do you
this
get
week.
On? Do you just do you phone them up and say, can we be on?
Just click a button.
Don't even have to ask anybody.
No. Just got this. There you go. You've
kind of shown us behind the curtain there.
Yeah. Sorry, no. Sorry. It took a lot of work and meetings. It was like him when he talks about. It's like Jim here when he goes on about going to Google to talk about the fixture problems. I don't mean to be like Mr. Harris, but have you sorted the Google problem out yet?
Well, we did, but then another one's come up. So apologies, South Shield fans, I'm back on the case. You know, long story short, either the EvoStick League pages or the social media, right place to be. Or
good.
The clubs.
Good. You should be doing that anyway. I mean, well, why would you go anywhere else?
Or the league website.
Well, let's say the league website.
You did, EvoStickLeague.co.uk for all your EvoSticky needs. Right, let's talk.
Hang on. What about the Southern League one? Because that's also Evo, well, it's Bostic, isn't it? Which
they also had a podcast once upon a time, but then blew it. Anyway, right, let's talk about. So, welcome back to the Heat and Hop here in Stockport, the award-winning Heat and Hop, and the home of the EvoStick NPL show for the month of January. Simo's here, Berkey's here, James is here. King George all over again, isn't it? Right, okay. So, let's talk about the bottom end of the table.
Well, what a bottom end.
Let me just say this. In 14th place, we've got Witton Albion on 32 points. Below them is Marine on 32 points. Hensford Town on 32 points. Lancaster City on 32 points. Grantham on 32 points. Then you've got Stafford on 30. Mickleover Sports on 29. Workington on 23, but with 23 games in hand as well, confusingly. And above Witton Albion, you can't rule out these teams. Bamber Bridge on 34. Whitby Town on 36. Stalybridge on 39. A bit further up, 12 points above the relegation zone, Basford United. We're not really saying this, are we?
Yes.
Are we?
No.
Okay, let's talk about serious relegation.
Martin Kirrs will never speak to you ever again.
No, that's true. Not to sound like Richard Keys, but it is just banter. Right, okay, let's talk about... North Ferriby, it's 20 points now.
They could actually be relegated at the end of this month.
Okay. We wish everyone well at North Ferriby anyway.
Yeah, of course we do, but they're gone, unfortunately.
It's a bit more interesting is Workington.
Ben,
yes.
I don't mean to blow my own trumpet, but this is what I said last month.
You should listen to the shows that you're on.
Without questions.
Yeah, and then take notes about what you've actually said and go, I bet you got that. That's a good thing I've just said there. Anyway, what did you say last month that was great?
Last month, Ben, I said, have a look at Workington's fixture list. They look dead and buried now, but look who they're playing. They've got to come up against Grantham. They've got to come against Bamber Bridge, North Ferry, Basford, who at the time were on a terrible run of form, and they've not really pulled out of that particular nosedive. They've got Witten, who they've gone on a really terrible run. And we should include Marine as well, because they're in there as well, same amount of points, but I think Marine are going to be safe, to be honest. They've already beaten Bamber Bridge. They've beaten Grantham. They should beat North Ferriby United on Saturday. And I said last month, if they win 9 points out of those six games, they'll be right back in it. They've got 6 points already. They're right back in it, officially right back in it.
Yeah. I mean, if they win on Saturday, they're potentially only 3 points behind the team above them.
Yeah, and 4 points from safety if results go.
Yeah, like I said, once you've got within touching distance of someone, it becomes a lot more.
The problem is for Workington, it's the same problem that teams like Bamber Bridge have got. It's the fact that everyone above Workington and below Bamber Bridge keeps winning and keeps getting points out of nowhere.
Not everybody, no. I mean, look at Grantham, they're not.
Grantham were above Bamber Bridge just a couple of weeks ago, but teams like Lancaster, Stafford, Hensford, Marine get the odd win here or there, and it's really widened the field, hasn't it?
And that's what's keeping it as close, getting Workington an opportunity to get back into it.
Exactly, everyone's kind of much of a muchness, but there are...
How important was that 2-0 win against Grantham?
Yeah, obviously I think they had to get that because it's. I mean, they were almost writing. It was on the official Twitter. You'll know this, James, but the official Twitter, their own Twitter account was almost writing them off like 3 weeks ago. So it's like all of a sudden, you know, you get that win and lifts up. I mean, it's worth noting though. Obviously, Stafford had the big win the other week at Grantham, and obviously they're still. You know, the following weekend's results, and all of a sudden they're sort of back in the mix again. So I think it's just a case of if you can string like two or three wins together, it makes a massive difference.
I think this weekend is really interesting, isn't it? Because like you said, not to do the fixture preview a bit too early, but Workington away at North Ferriby, but then you've got Bamber Bridge away at South Shields. You've got Hensford Town away at Warrington. Mm-hmm. There was another one, wasn't there? Micklover playing Marines, so that's potentially two sides there dropping points if it's a draw.
True.
I mean, those are good fixtures there for Workington if they can get 3 points against North Ferriby. But knowing North Ferriby, I wouldn't be surprised if they get the win.
I would.
Is that Marine Micklover game is quite interesting, because if Marine win that, would you sort of say they're on the cusp of joining that mid-table bracket of teams and moving out of the relegation?
Yeah, with Michelover Sports as well, they're in the relegation, but they've been actually winning games. The only reason down there is they've not been playing games.
Yeah,
exactly. The thing with Michelover were probably one of the best teams I've seen, certainly until Christmas time, and I couldn't understand how they've just not managed to pick up the points.
So Pablo Mills as well is still on form at the moment too. So
it's a strange one with Michelover. They had a really poor first third to the season. The second third's been all right. And
they're shocking away from home.
They are shocking away from home, but the thing is, the performances have been all right, but the results just haven't gone their way.
They play nice football. Like I say, I mean, I've seen them a couple of times, and I've always thought, you know, they've played, like say, for whatever reason, they've just not been able to pick up the points, and, you know, that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
The talent's there, no question about it, but my question about them would be the balance of the team. There's a lot of very experienced people in there, but there's a lot of very inexperienced, and there doesn't seem to be too much in the middle there. Sort of, you not journeymen as such, but people who know the division inside out, and they go from all the various clubs in the Midlands. There doesn't seem to be too many of them. It's either young kids or really old stages.
So, if Workington get out of this, and if Michelover...
Hang on, Workington will get out of it, and Michelover will. In fact, look at this, what I've put there, Simo. What does that say?
Safe.
In big capital letters with an exclamation.
That's why I use the intonation.
Exactly. They weren't a Mancunian. We're going, oh, safe, mate. Or anything like that. I mean, they're going to be... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be safe and McClover will be fine.
I still think they got it on. The 7 points adrift of a position of safety, I think it's still a big ask for them. But they're giving themselves a chance.
If Michalova play good football and get themselves out of it, and Workington go on a mad run and get themselves out of it...
I do think they will.
Who's the other two teams then who are going to drop in? Because at the moment, you could... Well, the thing is, it's changed.
Our answer to this 2 weeks, 3 weeks at last month's show would have been different to what it's probably going to be tonight. Because certainly the circumstances at Grantham with the change of manager again, they've lost four of the past five games.
Basso's joined the coaching staff, though. Adriano Basso.
Yes, saw that.
Will he be joining the playing staff as well? Because he's still
player coach. But you'd say now, we'll have to see what happens in the next couple of weeks and the new guys settle in, but you'd say it's the proverbial good time to play them, as we've seen with other teams this season when they're kind of in flux. It feels to me they're particularly vulnerable now.
Can I ask you a question, Simo? I know you just talked and came up with some good points there, but I do need to ask you something. There is an elephant in the room here.
Is there?
Yeah.
The world's fit one in.
Yeah,
oh no. Sorry, I'll turn it swampy.
It was.
Serious swampy moment.
Witton Albion.
Yeah.
There was a question mark at the end of me saying Witton Albion.
That kind of sums it up at the moment. It is a wince.
You're going to be okay.
Well, we keep saying it every time, don't we, that Witten are too good, they're too strong. You know, look at the defensive record, which is still, they've only conceded 28 goals, second best defensive record in the league. That probably will save them, actually. It's built on, you know, they're a very, very, very tough team to beat still, even when they're struggling at the other end of the field. They probably will get enough 1-0s to do it, but it's a little bit close for comfort at the moment. They've lost five of the last seven games, so it's a poor run of form. A couple of wins in that. They have beaten Nantwich and they've beaten Matlock, two teams who were in form. So again, they've proven that they can pick up results. Their home form's improved slightly, which is one of the biggest areas of concern, but it's still not really good enough. February's quite important for them. You don't want the gap to still be a tiny one going into March, because then, you know, people saying you're too good, it can become a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You just need to be careful. What I would say is there's no evidence at all of that being the mood within the dressing room. They're very serious, and you know, the manager shot me down a couple of times for talking about games in hand and said, hang on a minute, we're looking over our shoulder. So that's kind of reassuring in a way that they're not falling into that trap. But they do need a couple of wins, they really do.
They've got some great players there though. I mean, Danny McKenna really stood out for me. When I played him a few weeks ago, he was outstanding. He was like Callum Byrne in his pomp. Absolutely brilliant, really was.
Shortly we are going to do the semi-final draw for the Integro League Cup, but I'll come to you for this bit, James. I'm looking at the form guide at the moment, and obviously North Ferriby's down there. Hensford, it's the second worst form going, but they've got two games unbeaten now, so maybe there's a mini run here. Then there's Berkey's Baseford United with his tongue in his cheek.
What?
Stafford Rangers have been four games unbeaten, but Grantham Town are on a three-game losing streak now. We talked about teams who get a win. I think you said about teams who go on a winning run. If a team goes on a losing streak now, do you think it's terminal, given what's happening around the...
Well, I mean, obviously you don't want to get cut adrift. You sort of feel like Workington have almost been in the last chance saloon, and you sort of feel they're going to suck that deficit back. But you feel if any other team gets to a point where they're 6, 7, 8 points adrift of safety, you probably think that you know, from here on in, that's going to be curtains for them. You mentioned Hensford, obviously they've brought in a load of players, obviously Nicky Eden's there, new managers and stuff, so a little bit of bedding in time there. Obviously they've got the two games sort of under the belt, but you know, they can't spend forever gelling because you need to get the points. Grantham's a really interesting one, just because they change manager again. You know,
it's a long, season,
especially when you compare Grantham to 12 months ago and where they were and the team they have been.
You look at the season they've had; it's literally running roller coaster all year compared to every other team. They've had some fantastic wins, but then the January and late December.
Colville the ninth in the division. I'm sorry, just to throw that out there.
I think, probably just to kind of draw it all together, because I'm quite interested in some of the interviews you've been doing over the past few weeks.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Every manager has said to draw as many teams into this as possible is what they want. And Mark Feld said it this past week, and Neil Young agreed with that when you made that point to him as well. Carl certainly said it to me, and the longer that there's kind of 8, 9, 10 teams in it, everyone will be feel a little bit more comfortable.
I think with Stafford, they may have been lulled into a false sense of security with that 5-0 win against Grantham. It's the only win that they've picked up in 7 games. You know, all right, they've drawn a few, but when you're down there scrapping like that, draws aren't enough for you. You need to sneak over the line.
They've had that interruption as well with the managerial change and all that. And that's the thing. I think the clubs that have, obviously, some of the clubs have had managers from, or they might have changed earlier in the season, but the ones that have changed recently, so, you know, Hensford, Grantham, Stafford, those are the ones that are perhaps a bit most vulnerable because they've got to start turning around the form, you know, pretty soon.
I'm just looking, the only teams who haven't is Micklover and Witton Albion.
Micklover, Witton and Whitby are the only teams in the bottom half of the table who haven't changed manager.
There you go.
Well, then, you know, you've got Lancaster who changed it a lot earlier, and Lancaster and to me are quite, you know, Marine's a good example. Marine won 4 of the last 5 or something like that.
Yeah. Really great form.
You know, they've turned it around, and like those clubs have changed the manager earlier and now are starting to get in. I think Lancaster and Marine will pull away from the bottom
weird
group.
With Marine, you know, they've been in this division for 30 years.
Forever.
Yeah, they never look like they're going to go up. They've flirted with going. In fact, they nearly did get promoted, didn't they? But they won the league, but weren't allowed to be promoted way back in the day, 93, 94, something like that. And the last 10 years or so, I think they finished in the top half once or twice.
He made a good point, though, didn't he? Like, new manager that had come in, but come back to what you're saying, he's had a lot longer. There has been churn at Marine, he's had to bring his own players in.
And
they've had to be patient. And now it looks like, certainly since the turn of the year, since December maybe, getting the reward for that.
Well, I'm not going to go around the table asking for your predictions or anything like that. Because it's not fair, is it?
It is fair.
We all know it's South Shields and Farsley.
Oh, you mean who's going to go down?
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. We'll do that.
He says he'll tell
you. We'll do that in April's show. We'll do that in April's show.
Hang on, April's going to be in May when everyone's been done already.
Oh, no, by that point, we will bring the shows forward a bit. We'll do it in the playoff week.
How are we going to do that?
Well, I think that's the end of part 2 of the Evo Stick MPL show. Coming up next is an advert, and then it's going to happen, isn't it? We've got Graham Kelly coming in and joining us. We're going to do the semi-final draw right here.
Indeed.
At the Heat and Hops.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Evo Stick MPL show here at the Heat and Hops, the home of the award-winning Heat and Hops and the home of the not award-winning Evo Stick MPL show. And you join us here for something rather exciting. I'm now about to hand over to MPL Towers for the semi-final draw of the Integro League Cup.
Yeah. So this is the draw for the Integro League Cup semi-final. Fantastic competition so far, and we're obviously down to our finals four sides, which are, and the draw numbers as follows. Number 1 is Belper Town, number 2 is Buxton, number 3 is Farsley Celtic, and number 4 is FC Trafford. Of the four sides left in, only Farsley will be looking to regain the trophy. The other three have never won it. However, they have won the previous competitions in regards to the President's Cup and the Chairman's Cup in previous guises. Just going to choose who's going to do the draw. So to the left of me, I've got James Gordon, who is the league media officer, and obviously Ian Burke, who we've all met before from 26 Hill and formerly of BC Manchester. So we'll just get straight down to it. It's an open draw, so there's no seedings, there's no regionalisation. Anyone can draw anyone.
I'll do the poll.
Yeah, nice. So
Number three,
which is Farsley Celtic.
It is number one,
which is Belper Town.
Number four,
which is Trafford.
Against Fort Mount at this point.
There should be number two.
Number two, which is Buxton. Match dates will be announced in the next couple of days, and along with where the final will be held. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Well, wasn't that exciting, everyone? Thank you, James. Thank you, Burke. And thank you, James. Simo, Thanks for being here. That's the semi-final draw. If I've written this right, it's Farsley against Belper, Trafford against Buxton, with the matches to be played.
Dates to be announced very shortly.
Dates to be announced, TBA. Just to add, we think we'll do the final. It depends. You know, we've often been criticised over the years for being a bit Manx centric, but it is true. If it is in Manchester, the final, we'll do it. If it's anywhere else, not so much. Right, okay. joke.
Not really.
No, it might do it if it's. Might do it in Tameside. Anyway,
who's it? Cheshire?
Oh, Cheshire, my dude. Let's talk about the fixtures then for this weekend and some big matches. Just go around the table, quick as you like. Just your general vibe, predictions, that kind of thing. In no particular order, other than alphabetical, it's Buxton against Gainsborough Trinity. This is a huge game for Buxton.
It's a huge game for Gainsborough.
Yeah. It's a huge game for Buxton. If Buxton get 3 points out of this, they're only 6 points behind Gainsborough.
Yeah, but
with two games in hand.
They could potentially be two
with
points.
Two games in hand.
Oh yeah, fair point. I don't feel it at the minute with Buxton. I don't have the vibe about them. You're dead right in what you say that they'll be within touching distance and all that, but I can't see it happening. I hope it does happen. I've got a lot of time for Buxton. It's one of my. It's my favourite away day. So
it's the closest one.
No, because it's got some really good.
Don't start doing your Andrew Snaith impression. It's not a derby. There's no chance. No. Hyde and Buxton.
I'm enjoying geography corner each time he's on.
Isn't it nice?
It's nice.
Lovely, isn't it?
It's lovely.
It really is. Yeah. Carry on.
It's a big game for Gainsborough. They need to respond big time after getting hammered last week. So it'll be interesting to see what we get from them.
If they'd have won last week, they'd have jumped into that playoff spot, wouldn't they? And obviously missed that opportunity. So,
who's going to win that, or is it too close to call?
I think it's close to call. Really.
Too close
to call.
It's going to be a
draw. Yeah.
Farsley, it'll be snowed off. Farsley, that's a joke. Farsley Celtic against Nantwich Town. Boom.
If it's a draw, anyway, I think this is going to be the one.
Nantwich won't be going out there to win that, I don't think. I think they'll be keeping it tight. I really, really do. You've got the guile in the centre of the park. They've got the solidity at the back, but they don't really have the firepower up top, as we alluded to earlier on.
Is it a knockout blow for whoever loses?
No.
Not yet.
I'd say maybe so for Nantwich. We've seen the month that they've got ahead.
Yeah, because the games have got coming. Yeah,
yeah, it sets the tone.
I'm with you there, actually, Teague.
Farsley only lost home once this season. Tough game.
Hyde United against Matlock Town. Burke,
is
this a knockout blow?
It feels like a winner stays on, yeah. Yeah, it does. If Hyde win it, they're still in with a shout. I really do believe that. Similarly with Matlock as well. They've got a sliver of a chance, Matlock, if they win that one. If they draw, I think they're both out of contention. I really do.
Do you think Matlock are capable of stringing like 7-8 wins together?
They have.
They've
been.
Done it.
No, but that's what I mean, of doing it again.
Potentially. Yeah, potentially they can do it. But it's finding that momentum again that they had around November, December time. Whether that was just, I don't know, the euphoria of Dave Frecklington.
New manager bounce.
Coming in, exactly, yeah, and getting a few new players in, I'm not too sure. But they're a good team, Matlock. Hyde gave them a good game. Down at Causeway, they gave them a really good game down there. It was the best 0-0 you've ever seen. You know, it was brilliant end-to-end stuff,
I think the thing with Matlock is they've just struggled to shrug off coming out of that run, haven't they? Like they've almost like the run's ended, but instead of sort of getting back on the horse, they're still looking at the horse, thinking about, well, what can we do?
Maybe the horse has run off into another field.
Maybe that's what it is.
Well, they have got the injuries. They have got those injuries.
But then they had injuries during the run as well, to be fair.
That's true.
You know, they've had injuries the whole time, so...
If Farsley Celtic and Nantwich Town is a game you can see from space, then joining it just there, just next to it, on planet Earth, is Marine against Michalova Sports. That's huge, isn't it?
It's a massive
It is. Michalova edged it at Christmas. They won 1-0, I think, I remember, between Christmas and New Year, and I think it's going to be just as tight again. Marine are the form team, though, aren't they?
I can see that. It's going to be close, whatever happens.
I mean, I don't want to ask this question because I think I asked something similar to one of the managers who were down there about the possibility of just a couple more results and that's job done then, isn't it?
Are we there
with Marine?
Marine are unspectacular. They go about the business. They're very well organised, actually.
Michalova's away form is pretty bad.
It's awful. They've won one game away from home this season. Guess where that was?
Was it Wigan?
Yes.
Well, that very rarely happens when
we're this season. you're this season's Hyde United, aren't you? Clearly. Right. Anyway,
only thing I'll say on top of that is just before Christmas, I called that game a six-pointer on the weekly show. I think I was wrong there. This is a definite six-pointer.
This is a 12-pointer.
Marina, a good example though of what happens if you can string. You know, if we were having this conversation, well, like you just say, if we're having this conversation 6 weeks ago, Marine were well and truly in the relegation zone, and we were thinking, oh. Whereas now they've won four or five or whatever, and all of a sudden you're thinking, well, if they win this one, they might be.
No Ferriby against Workington.
Workington all day.
Yeah, no debate.
Okay. Scarborough Athletic against Stafford Rangers. This is a big game for both clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is. Let me
introduce you properly. It's now time to hand over to one of the starlets of Scarborough Athletic's media team. It's Burke. Burke, over to you at the Scarborough desk.
Thank you, Ben. Oh, sorry, I need to call the accent.
Sorry, the calendar Scarborough desk.
I think Scarborough. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, would it be a massive scalp if Stafford beat Scarborough?
It'd be huge, Shimo. It really would. Scarborough, they've been looking to get out of this fog that they're in at the moment. And Stafford, they're in one too. I mean, they're so inconsistent at the minute. They really are. I mean, the problem with Stafford is the general trajectory that they've got at the moment.
Four it's games unbeaten.
One win in seven, no. The general trajectory is going backwards. I don't see them getting anything out of the trip up to the Flamingoland Stadium.
South Shields against Bamber Bridge.
Home win?
Is there anything Bamber can do
again,
here?
Again, they're two wins away from going a year unbeaten, well, even dropping points.
Is there any games Bamber Bridge have won away from home this season?
Please tell us, Simo.
One. And it wasn't
was it Hyde?
Was it
Hyde? No,
it wasn't actually, because we're not playing home in the league, actually. We've beaten 3-0 home in the FA Trophy.
Sorry, guys. Okay. 14th successive win.
Yeah, South Shields.
Saying that, though, I don't think anyone was expecting Radcliffe to clip the wings of South Shields this time last season.
Someone's going to do it. I don't reckon they're going to win every game.
Oh, it'd be remarkable if they did, wouldn't it?
It'd be brilliant.
Stalybridge Celtic against Witton Albion. Who can they go to for this?
This is a great game. Seriously, I think this is going to be a fantastic match. It's going to be 1-0 or 0-0, but it's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Witten Owen won. I think it was after they beat Spennymoor in the FA Cup, so Witten on a big high, and Stalybridge come on the Tuesday and did a job on them. So they do owe them one. The problem Witten has, every time they come up against a team with Scott Backer in it, he always has an absolutely incredible game. So you got to factor that in on Saturday. Big game for Witten. They lost last two away from home as well, so they need to get something.
Well, they've got the ability to get absolutely something, that's the thing.
Warrington Town against Hensford, James.
I think Warrington needs to get build on last week. I think it was a real statement performance at Gainsborough, and you know, like we say, South Shields relying on the home form. Warrington, it's a home game. They'll be looking to get the 3 points, especially you know with the trip to South Shields the following week.
You're consistent throughout, basically. But the thing is, a few weeks back, cash your mind. The Warrington v Lancaster game where you pulled it back Tony Gray in the last minute,
but still 2 points dropped. I think you can ill afford to be dropping points at home, especially against the teams in the bottom half at this point. And you know, I mean, like I say, they've got with South Shields and Nantwich coming up. You know, you don't want to be going into those games having dropped 2 points against a team in the bottom four or five.
Final fixture, and hear me out for this one while you were all chatting there, which all got edited out, by the way. But when
it was great radio,
wasn't it? Hear me out on this one. If Michelover Sports get a win against Marine and Stafford Rangers beat Scarborough, if Lancaster City beats Whitby Town this weekend, Whitby will be 4 points above the relegation zone.
Whitby are in it.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do. They lost 7 games at home this season, and that is a big problem.
I think you're trying to align a lot of stars there, Simon.
I think it's Benny trying to align stars. Oh, yeah, that's true. Can I just say, that wasn't that outlandish, no, what not. I just said there. It was only three.
Actually, it was. Because
what, Michelover beating Marine, Stafford beating Scarborough, and Lancaster beating Whitby?
They need to be.
It's ridiculous.
Wary.
Can Manchester City do anything at the Turnbull?
Yeah.
They've shown capability in the past. Again, down bottom end, teams on the bottom end, they can play the game. I mean, Lancaster, they went to Stafford Rangers 2 weeks ago, run them out of the park for about 10-15 minutes. There's only a free kick, which again, if you've not seen the goal on the social medias, watch it.
Very nice goal.
Yeah.
They're on a good run of form.
Martial was in good form on the show on Friday. I think he's feeling it, isn't he? They made a couple of good signings from Bamber Bridge, and those two lads have settled in really well. They're 5 unbeaten. They're kind of, you're talking about form teams at the bottom, along with Marine, the team that are picking up points regularly since the turn of the year.
To be fair, what we talked about Lancaster's performance at Warrington, they've shown that they're capable of playing well away from home. And, you know, it's funny, actually, them two games that you mentioned, they've conceded late free kicks in there, both of them, which is frustrating, because they could be 4 points better off.
With Whitby, they've been consistently inconsistent the whole season, which is absolutely fine, because if you win one, lose one, you're going to be 12. Exactly, you'll be right, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, I think that'll do for this month's EvoStick NPL show. Look out for the Division East West show, where we'll have interviews with Ossett United, Sheffield, Cleve Forbes, Widnes, Ramsbottom United, of course, and Colne. That's what I've just written down there in my production meeting. I just sat
Chris Wilcott Corner, isn't it?
Hmm?
Fast becoming Chris Wilcott Corner.
Well, you can't ignore it, can you?
Absolutely.
Just before we go, just a quick run around the table. Can Rami on Tuesday beat Fylde away, given where Fylde are in the National League as well?
Their best chance is gone.
I'd be surprised, but the weird and wonderful world of football is there to surprise, isn't it?
James Gordon.
Yes.
Play like they did the second half, they've got every chance.
Well, on that note, that is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for the month of January, recorded in February, confusingly. Mr. Andrew Simpson from the Mid Cheshire Guardian, a big thank you for joining us this month.
My pleasure.
Berkey from 26-0, big thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
James Gordon making his debut, his first and only appearance on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Ben.
Seriously, we do make the effort, don't we, James? And they come once and they never come back. And James Hayes, social media man for the league, thanks for joining us. And that's it from us here at the Heat and Hops. And wherever you're going this weekend, have fun. Bye bye.
With over 500 high performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick. The strongest adhesives you can buy.